Please be seated. And so it begins. Bread, 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 bread. For the next 4 or 5 weeks, I haven't looked that far ahead, we will be in this section of John, and we will hear Jesus say, "I am the bread of life," over and over and over again. Now, we've already had a couple of weeks of bread miracles, and now we're going to have several weeks of bread metaphors. And I'm not really sure what the framers of the lectionary were thinking when they did this. Maybe they realized it was the dog days of summer, and attendance is usually pretty spotty. And if they used this theme several weeks in a row, at least people would get it at least once. But what I do know is that it was important to the lectionary framers for some reason. It was important to John, and perhaps most important to the followers of Jesus who heard these words when they were written probably some 70 plus years after the time of Christ. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And just when I thought my head might explode, having to come up with what I figured would be my 26th bread sermon, I came across an article that kind of stuck with me. It was an article from several years ago, and it was an NPR interview of a bread maker. And in the interview, the bread maker said this: "In making bread, there is a very fine line between fermentation and putrefaction," which is a word I wasn't familiar with, but that's the process of the bread going bad. One of the reasons, the bread maker said, that so many store-bought sliced loaves of bread are chocked full of chemical preservatives is because of the propensity for the bread to spoil. The same metabolic reactions that ferment the yeast in bread dough are the same reactions that ferment bacteria in spoilage. In those societies that predated modern refrigeration or artificial preservation of bread, putrefaction could mean the difference between eating or not. And I think it was that idea of that fine line that really intrigued me the most. A process that creates in one moment and the same process that ruins in the next moment. And there's a part of me that wonders if that fine line is a place where John sees many of the followers of Jesus in all those years later. And there's also a part of me that wonders if that fine line is where even today you and I most often live out our lives of faith. The fine line between following Jesus and being a follower of Jesus. And make no mistake, there is a difference. You know, when I was a kid, following Jesus was a no-brainer. If you followed Jesus, you would spend eternity in an awesome party with God in heaven, and if you didn't, you'd spend eternity suffering in hell with the devil. Of course. But as I grew older, I realized that what motivates so many in faith is not only that fear, but also the idea of what's in it for us. What can Jesus do for me? And for me, that's the fine line of faith between following and being a follower. Following's easy. Just ask the 5,000 folks who had just been fed by some kind of bread miracle with just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Of course they kept following. Maybe they were intrigued. Maybe it's what their friends were doing. Maybe they'd heard about other miracles, such as the healing kind. Maybe they saw the 12 basketful of leftovers and hoped for a midnight snack. And apparently, even Jesus thinks the crowd is being a little opportunistic. Looking for another free meal, he asks them. "That's not what this is about," he says. "Don't follow me for food that doesn't last. Be a follower working for food that lasts forever." And the crowd probably didn't understand what Jesus meant any more than we might today, even though we'll get hints about the difference between following and being a follower through the rest of the Gospels. Things like deny yourself and take up your cross. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father. Love your neighbor. Take my yoke upon you. Got two coats? Give one away. Love your enemies. Visit me in prison. Blessed are the meek, the poor, and the persecuted. Go into all the world and treat others like you'd like to be treated. All kind of things that don't nearly sound as much fun as a free picnic with friends. But in today's story, Jesus differentiates following and being a follower with very simple words. Simple but important words. He said, just believe. Just believe. The crowd, okay, Jesus, we'll believe, but show us another trick, another miracle. Maybe it would certainly make it easier for us to believe with that. And it's at that point where I think the crowd, and also every single one of us, experiences the fine line between following and being a follower. It is easy to follow, to say all the right words, to pray all the right prayers, to be on the right side of every issue, to take the high moral ground, to find comfort and certitude in wise sayings and meaningful parables and insightful teaching. But it's harder to be a follower, because that entails not just the bread that Jesus offers, but the bread that Jesus is. God incarnate. A God who doesn't always do things as we expect. A God who disrupts the neat order we've arranged in our lives with audacious promises of life and wholeness and forgiveness and acceptance, not only for us, but for those we've been conditioned to abhor. A God full of surprises, upheavals, reversals, who instead of pronouncing judgment as we see fit, offers mercy. Instead of justice, offers love. Instead of condemnation, forgiveness. Instead of coming in great power, came in great weakness. And instead of giving us all the miracles we want, gave us himself, asking us not only to hold on to what he says, but to embody what he does. And that's the fine line between following and being a follower. Following Jesus can be as simple as clinging to and mindlessly repeating the words of Christ himself. But that doesn't last in the big scheme of things. But being a follower recognizes that the bread of life Jesus is, the way, the truth, the life, the resurrection that is undeserved or earned, loving as we have been loved, forgiving as we've been forgiven, and feasting on the bread of life that Jesus is. The bread that endures, the body of Christ, the bread of heaven, the gifts of God for the people of God. And I guess in our journeys, we're going to be on the right side of that fine line sometimes, and the wrong side other times. And maybe the point is just acknowledging the difference. And you know, despite how hard I've tried, I think I've just preached my 26th bread sermon after all. God love you. Amen.